Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Word of God says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. The word is in the imperative mood. That means it's a command. And it's not just a suggestion. It is a dogmatic command. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. You don't have the option. Examine yourselves. The word is perazete, and it means to test the quality of something. In this case, test your own quality. Dogmatic command, you are required by God to do this. The apostle had the authority from God to give a command on God's behalf. He was the great apostle, God's 4-star general. And he's saying, God says, examine yourself. In a dogmatic command, do this. He is not saying, you have the option. He's not saying, if you feel like it. He's not saying, if this is agreeable to you. He's not saying, if your moods go along with it. He's not saying, if it makes you feel good. He's simply saying, God gave the dogmatic command to do this. You better do it. Examine yourself. Imperative mood is a very powerful mood in the Scriptures. All of God's authority, all of God's power is behind the imperative mood as expressed in the Word of God. Examine yourself. Test your own quality. Examine yourselves, he says. Whether you be in the faith. To be in the faith is in the indicative mood. It is talking about clear-cut dogmatic realities. Examine yourself, command from God, to see if this is your dogmatic reality that you be in the faith. Test your own quality. Look at yourself. Examine yourself to see your quality if it is faith. Now there are two things. There is faith, and then there is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Faith is of the kingdom of God. The tree of knowledge of good and evil in Ezekiel 31:18 was Satan's tree. And so examine yourself to see whether you are in the kingdom of God, in your operational experience, or whether you are in Satan's kingdom in your operational experience. Which one is it? Which one are you operating under? Check it out. Find out. Test your own quality. It's not saying test somebody else's quality. It's saying test your quality. Are you operating in God's kingdom or are you operating in Satan's kingdom? There are only two choices. If you are operating by faith, then you will reflect the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Out of the fruit of the Spirit emanate certain characteristics that are outlined in verses 22 and 23. Joy, meekness, temperance, goodness, patience, gentleness. All these emanate from one thing, love. Love is first, long-suffering in its patience, and profoundly kind. If you are operating in faith, it will be manifested by love. Because Galatians 5:6 tells us that faith works by love. So if you are operating in faith, you will be operating in the expression of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, long-suffering, patience, and kindness. Which kingdom are you operating under? Are you manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, or are you operating in Satan's kingdom? Examine yourself. Don't ignore the question. You are commanded to address the question by God. Not by me, it's in your Bible. I don't care which version you have, it's in your Bible. If it's your Amplified, it says examine and test and evaluate. A little bit more clear cut. You don't have the choice. Don't think you're going to skirt the choice. You don't have the choice. God has not offered you a choice. God does offer you evaluation at the Bema Seat if you are saved, or the White Throne Judgment if you are not. So examine yourself. See if you are in the faith. See if you are operating at the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil, or if you are operating at the Tree of Life. Faith, response, and practical operation does not take place without a cross in your life. The post-fall Tree of Life is the cross. At the cross you will find life and the capacity to operate in faith. Examine yourselves, dogmatic reality, dogmatic command, to see if you are operating in faith. Requires a cross. Then he continues, prove yourselves. Know you not, that word know you, that phrase, epigenokete, comes from epigenosko. It's referring to experiential knowledge. Do you not have experiential knowledge that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Do you not have experiential knowledge of being the one new man of Ephesians 2:15, which comes through the cross in Ephesians 2:16? Our oneness with Christ is through the cross. The experience of being the one new man is through the cross. Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves. To see if you are operating as the one new man. There you have God's command. Now, I have a question. Answer this in your own hearts. This is part of proving yourself. This is part of examining yourself. What are you willing to accept? And I'm not talking about accepting from other people or circumstances. I'm talking about accepting within your own self. You have no right, no place to try to accept or reject anything from other people or from circumstances in 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God. When do I reject anything? When it brings division into the body of Christ. That you reject categorically. But other than that, I cannot judge, period. And the only way that I can judge is to examine fruits. And when the fruit is division within the body, I reject it. When the Word of God tells me certain things are of the devil, I reject them. I do not accept them, I do not entertain them, and I do not tolerate them. I flat out reject them. I don't try to consider, well, is there any value in this? Well, King Saul, you may find that that question cost you number one, your kingdom, and number two, your life. No, you reject it categorically if the Bible says it's of the devil. So what are you willing to accept? Not referring to externals. Some people say, well, I want to accept if somebody treats me this way. You have no patience and you have no kindness. You are operating in Satan's kingdom. Examine yourself. Now, what do I examine myself in? It's like this. Number one, Am I operating in faith? Do I operate in faith responses to the full counsel of the Word of God? If I do not, I am operating at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because there are only two realities, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, and that did not change. The fall did not change that. The cross is present every bit as much today as it always has been from Revelation 13:8, upon which the world was established. And so, am I operating in God's kingdom through faith, or Satan's kingdom through the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Walking by sight, walking by hearing, calling something blessing, calling something cursing, calling something good, calling something evil. Natural evaluation through the empirical senses. If I am operating at that tree, I am operating in Satan's kingdom. Period. Satan's tree. And it will have the exact same results that it has had with the angels and with Adam and Eve. What do you mean with the angels? Do you think that when the Word of God is eternally settled in heaven, that it's just eternity future? That's not eternity. It's eternity past also. Satan's tree was always Satan's tree, even when he was Lucifer. That was the iniquity that was found in his heart. Rebellion against God through the empiricism of his thinking. Evaluating a situation. Well, I didn't like what that person said. Are you operating in faith? Faith responds to the Word of God. Love one another as I have loved you. They say, I love them. And then they turn around and they're unkind or impatient or hostile or negative or critical or sarcastic. I love them. They accuse people behind their backs. You don't love anybody. You love the devil. That's why you revere him so much, to put yourself through your own volition under his command. You think accusing the brethren is godly? Accusing the brethren is of the devil. Read Revelation chapter 12. Tell me what you think after that. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, you're not loving us right now very much. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. Goes to the Pharisees. Snakes, vipers, hypocrites, whitewashed sepulchres filled with dead men's bones. I guess Jesus didn't love very much, did he? Just enough to die for them. Shed his blood for them. But sometimes to challenge their little socks off. It's loving it just as much as anything else is. Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves. Do you love as Christ loved? If you do not, you need to start. If I am willing to accept things in me that God is not willing to accept, then my bema seat will be an extraordinarily painful and difficult experience. He will reward you according to that which is done in this life. What are you willing to accept in your own life? Examine yourselves. So many believers are such sissies when it comes to their old sin nature. They will coddle it, they will pamper it, they will feed it, they will coddle it, they will nurse it, and they will lose with it. You can give reverence to your emotions now and lift up your old sin nature, but Habakkuk 2 forces, you're not right with God in doing it, and you will lose at the bema seat. What are you willing to accept? Make sure that you are not willing to accept in yourself what God does not accept. Only accept exclusively that in yourself which God accepts. It is that simple. So examine yourselves and prove yourselves to see if you are in the faith. That is what God accepts. Apart from faith, in Hebrews 11:6, the Bible, the Word of God, it is impossible to please Him. And I don't care what kind of a religious or fleshly or tree of knowledge spin you want to put on it. I don't care how good the good side of the tree is, it is still rejected by God. Cain did not do terribly well with his good side of the tree of knowledge, empiricism. Well, I accept it just because I care about the person. You care about the devil, you don't care about the person. If you cared about the person, you would not tolerate it, so they would be convicted to get right with God themselves instead of suffering eternal loss. Are you in the faith, or are you in Satan's kingdom? Well, this stings. Good. If it stings, it's only because it needs to sting. You ever put medicine on something and it stings? Take an alcohol pad and it stings. Why does it sting? Because there's something wrong. That's why it stings. If there was nothing wrong, it wouldn't sting. If there was nothing wrong, you'd be happy about it. Oh, look at that. I put medicine on here and it doesn't sting. That means everything is as it ought to be. And I'm happy about it. On the other hand, if you get a cut or something, you put a little bit of medicine on it, it stings and it burns and it hurts. And you say, wow, that stings and burns and hurts, and I'm glad it's getting cleaned out. How many people do that with the Word of God? No, they'll fuss, they'll whine, they'll complain like a bunch of little infants. Don't be a spiritual infant. Examine yourselves. What are you willing to accept in yourself? Negativity? Well, that situation made me negative. That person made me negative. That thing made me negative. How is it that God made you negative? I didn't say God made me negative. I said that thing made me negative. All things are from God. All things are for your sake in 2 Corinthians 4:15. All things work together for good in Romans 8:28. How is it that God made you negative? Maybe God brought in a test to see if you're humble so that He could lift you up in James chapter 4. Humble yourself, Peter said, under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, He will lift you up. He will raise you up. He will exalt you. God exalts the humble and humbles the proud. Are you operating in pride, negativity, self-orientation, criticism, negativity, sarcasm? Those are all Satan's tools. Which kingdom are you in? Are you in Satan's kingdom or are you in God's kingdom in your practical, experiential operations? Which kingdom are you in? Examine yourselves. Love people? Holy Spirit convicts you. React or receive? Word of God comes. Do you assimilate it in childlike faith? Personalize it? This is speaking to me? Or do you intellectualize it? This is information that I use as I see fit in my empirical evaluations. I'm sorry, but there's only two kingdoms. And if you don't like that fact, get over it. Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves. The Word of God commands. The King commands. Here's one. Gather together much more as you see the day approaching. Is that the response? Nothing. Gather together much more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Do you see the wars and the rumors of wars? Do you see the diseases out there? The pestilence? Do you see the famines out there? Did you see Ebola? Did you see AIDS? I didn't say, did you have it? Did you see it? Did you hear about it on the news? Did you hear about all the earthquakes? More earthquakes in the last 150 years than all of recorded history put together? Did you see the day approaching? Do you see that the mark of the beast is present? And now there's laws passed in the United States and Europe that it will be required? Did you see it? Did you read about it? Did you hear about it? Well, the BBC, NBC News, who else? Fox News, the Daily Mail, Business Insider, all are talking about these. Not all the time, but they've reported on them. Little chip put in the fatty portion between the thumb and the forefinger. Little computer chip with all your information and GPS capability. You're looking at number 666 trying to figure out if you can enter into the building that has that address. Six is the letter W in the Hebrew. It's all internet based. How many people are now going to stop using the internet? The tribulation isn't here yet. We're just in the beginning of sorrows. But we see the day approaching. Jesus said, this generation shall not pass in Matthew 24 until these things have come to pass. He described two events. He described the beginning of sorrows, and then He described the great tribulation. That generation will not pass until those things have taken place, and that generation started in 1948 when Israel returned. 100 years. The maximum generation. You're setting dates. No, I'm not. I have no idea when it's going to happen. I just know what a generation means. So, the day is approaching. Are you gathering together much more as you see the day approaching? Or do you come unless you have something better to do? I'm not talking about being sick, and I'm not talking about family vacations. If your family vacation comes 3 times a month, then I'm talking about you too. Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves. Do you esteem God's Word more than all things necessary? And by the way, if you're on family vacation, what provision have you made to receive the Word of God? If you have not made one, don't go. Period. Oh, I think that's kind of ridiculous. I should be able to do that. Isn't that unreasonable? Okay, fine. You stand before God. Have fun telling God that one at the Bema Seat. God, I think your word was kind of ridiculous there. I should be able to go. It did not make any sense in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. It did not make any sense. Gather together much more. Not much less. Not if you don't have anything better to do. And Sally wasn't down. Well, bring Aunt Sally to church. Maybe Aunt Sally will get saved. Examine yourselves. There's another one. He that wins souls is wise. Jesus came but to seek and to save that which was lost. The servant is not greater than his master. I believe that. Do you do it? Do you do it? I don't care if you believe it. The devils believe and tremble. Do you do it? Well, that's a little legalistic. No, that's the Word of God. You can call it legalistic if you want, but the Bema Seat is present and coming, and God won't accept. That's a little legalistic. God will say, I did it. Did you have a faith response? I said it, did you have a faith response? I revealed it, did you have a faith response? Did you do it? I don't like this message. This message will save your eternity. Because what you accumulate at the Bema Seat will stay with you for eternity, and not one iota more will you receive. I want the people in this church to be fat and happy for all of eternity, filthy rich, and I don't much care what you think of it in time, except that you have a faith response to it. You see, we are so coddling and sweet and patient and kind and tolerant of our old sin nature. Tell your sin nature to take a hike. It has never done you any favors. Your sin nature is no better than mine, and I know mine's pretty darn rotten. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. It is better for a man not to have a carnal touch of a woman until they are married. Because these people are dating, making out. Oh, but I didn't sleep with her. Well, that's special. They walk around and say, oh, I didn't kill anybody. That's special. It's like those people who say, I've saved because I haven't hurt anyone, I haven't killed anyone, I haven't robbed anyone. I deserve to go to heaven. All you're telling me is you didn't deserve to go to jail. But you have not given me one single qualification for heaven. Not deserving jail is not a qualifier for heaven. Believing on Christ as your Savior, that is the only qualifier for heaven. I don't care if you killed or didn't kill. Actually, I do. Don't kill, but you know what I'm saying. Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves. Do you soul win? See, here's the thing. To see if you are in the faith. Okay, to see if you are operating in faith responses. Are you operating in faith responses?
Well, I think I am to the best of my ability.
No, 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 no. No, I think I am, and no, best of your ability. Those two things are empirical evaluations of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The answer is yes, or the answer is no. So the best of your ability tells me no, I want to feel good about it though. God in you is the source of your ability. Are you operating in faith responses? Or are you operating in your old sin nature? Those are the two options. There are no other. There is no middle ground. Well, that's very black and white. No, that's very absolute. You can call it whatever color you like. Are you operating in faith responses? Yes or no? Most of the time. I got news for you. 99% spiritual and 1% carnal is all carnal. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Are you operating in faith responses? Are you operating in the fruit of the Spirit? Are you operating in the cross? Are you operating in the strength of Christ who lives in you? Do you trust God? I'm not saying, do you believe Him? Do you trust Him? Everybody believes Him. Very few people actually trust Him. If you didn't believe Him, you wouldn't even be a Christian. Do you believe His Word? Do you eat it, masticate it? When He says that we need His Word more than our necessary food, do you believe His Word and do you masticate it? Do you have a healthy diet of the Word of God every single day? Do you breathe every day? It says all things necessary. Job didn't say my necessary food. He said all things necessary. Study a little to show yourself approved. So all things necessary. Is breathing necessary? Did you breathe today? If you breathe today, then you better have gotten built up in the Word of God today, because God says it's more important than breathing.
Well, let's be reasonable.
Tell that to God at the Bema seat. Because I know only one place where they're going to say that to God in Matthew chapter 7, and that's at the great white throne judgment for the unbeliever.
Yeah, Satan's reasonable.
He reasoned with Eve. Try reasoning with God in Isaiah 1:18. Do you accept the blood for every single situation in your life, for every single person you come across? Do you accept and implement the blood of Christ and the forgiveness of sins, and not only the forgiveness but the removal of sin? Or do you happen to remember what God forgets in Hebrews 8:12? If you do, God calls you a liar, and Romans 1, no liar goes to heaven. You do with that one what you will, but it's in your Bible. Or are you one of those people who likes to think about and remember and dwell on, forgive but won't forget? You're lying to yourself. Here's another one. You like gossip? Read Romans 1, what it has to say about a gossip. You like gossip? Let's just talk about this person. Well, Proverbs chapter 6 says that that is one of the things that God hates the most. Let's just talk about this person. Did you hear? We want to discuss it so we can pray. We want to discuss it so we can have understanding. Understand this. The blood of Christ removes all sins. That's all the understanding you need. The blood of Christ removes all sins. Our righteousness is of God. Or do we have self-righteousness, whereby we feel we have the right to be unkind? We feel we have the right to be impatient. We feel we have the right to be negative or sarcastic. Well, if I don't tell them their faults, how will they ever grow? You must be God. You can cause people to grow just by telling them their faults? You must be... Oh, excuse me, not God. The one who tells us their faults is the devil. You know what? That's born in self-righteousness. Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves. I'm not sure I want to examine or prove myself. The king has commanded. No choice. No choice. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If a man says he loves God but hates his brother, that is to say, does not love his brother, anything that is not love is hate, then he is a liar and there is no truth in him. Whatsoever is born of God sins not. God gives more grace to the humble and opposes the proud with a military stand of opposition. Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know how many people I've heard of says that has to do with when you got saved? No. Elder is the pastor teacher. Younger is the congregation. Study. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. But husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. Husbands, be patient and kind, not thinking evil. Just read 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 6 and you'll get a good definition. Ask yourself, am I living in this? It's part of examining yourself. Husbands, be patient and kind, long-suffering, patient and kind toward your wives. Think no evil. She is the weaker vessel. She is not the weaker intellect, she is the weaker vessel. Love her as Christ loved the church. Christ did not pound his chest and say, I'm the husband.
You listen to me, church.
Pound, pound, pound. You know who pounds his chest is a gorilla. You're nothing but a chimpanzee if you're like that. Some big old ape in the house. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. As is fitting as someone who is saved. Submit yourselves to your husband. How many wives say, I will submit as long as I agree? No, that's not submitting. That's just wanting your own way. And if he agrees with you, you won't fight him. And if he doesn't agree with you, then you will fight him. Husbands, love your wives. Husband, you never point to your wife and say, you're not submitting. You're an old ape if you do. And not a whole lot more. And I got news for you, wifeies. You're not submitting to your husband. And by that, I don't mean you just do what he says. I mean you have a kind, gentle, sweet attitude toward your husband. How many wives have a kind, gentle, sweet attitude toward their husbands out there? And you call yourself Christians? If you do not, that's not fitting in the Lord. We're equal opportunity sock friars. I don't care if you're a man or a woman, I'll fry your socks when the Holy Spirit says to. Examine yourselves. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children unto anger. Children, obey your parents. It doesn't say, children, do your own thing. Parents, it doesn't say the children can do their own thing. It says, raise up a child in the way he should go. It doesn't say, water them. They're not plants, they're human beings. You invest, you nurture, you love, you invest, you invest, you invest, you invest. And then they will not depart from it when it's old. It doesn't actually say they won't depart from it when it's old. It says it won't depart from them when they are old. It doesn't guarantee you what their free volition will do. It will guarantee you what God has commanded you to do as a parent that you have done if you do it. These parents say children have to make their own mistakes. Show me that one in the Bible. How are they going to learn if I teach them? How are they going to learn if you don't? These parents who let their kids go off at night with some guy or some girl and say, well, they're just buddies. Yeah, I like fun they are. They don't have a wicked little sin nature? Is that what you're telling me? Not my Johnny. I got news for you. Your little Johnny has the same wicked sin nature right from hell that every other human being has on earth. And you leave little Johnny alone with little Janie and they're going to be making out and making babies soon. Not my Johnny. So teach them from when they are very little. You know what? A person that I know has phenomenal kids. Two daughters. Wonderful young women. They've got a head on their shoulders that's screwed on tight. Do you know why? I asked him how he managed it. He said, I was very strict when they were young and I didn't need to be that strict when they were teenagers. He taught them, he invested them, and he loved them enough to discipline them when they were little children. And I'm not saying beating kids out of anger, but I am saying spare the rod, spoil the child. No. The parent must be Spirit-filled. And in being Spirit-filled, they have a place to discipline the child properly as the parent is Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. God doesn't say, destroy the child. God says, discipline them. Nowadays, you seem to have the two extremes. Parents who are too permissive or parents who are too harsh. Love them. Teach them. Invest in them. Invest in them. Invest in them. Don't let the idiot box raise your children. And for Pete's sake, take away the stupid cell phone. Well, my daughter would die. No, she won't. I promise you. The cell phone is not keeping her breathing. But you know what will happen is all her little fleshly carnal friends will be texting her and tempting her and all kinds of nastiness, and you give them their own computer. Isn't that special? It's their 13th birthday, so they can get online and talk to any old fool out there. Look at any old piece of garbage out there. Stay up till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, they are 15. They need a measure of freedom. No, they're 15. They need a measure of guidance and upbringing and nurture and discipline when they need it. Well, my kid's a good kid. Maybe they are, but you'd like to keep it that way, wouldn't you? Or maybe they're just a good kid in what they show you. But how are they with their friends? I can never figure out these Christians. Johnny has a girlfriend. Girlfriend's joining Johnny on the trip. What? Well, Johnny has a girlfriend. That would be nice. Show me one place in the Bible where anybody's supposed to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Least of all, Johnny. Samson tried it, didn't work out really well. Solomon tried it, didn't work out really well. David tried it, didn't work out really well. Never worked out really well in the Bible, but it'll work out just fine for Johnny. Examine yourselves, parents, to see if you are in the faith. Well, what's Johnny supposed to be? An outcast? Better to be an outcast than be outcast by God. Well, Johnny's a believer. I think you're being ridiculous. Too harsh, too harsh. Tell God that at the Bema seat. His word is not joking. I don't see that in the Bible. Then try reading it. Okay, fine. I'll give you the verses. Ruth 3:10. 1 Corinthians 7:27. Here's one. Here's how they came together. When Isaac was 40, not 14. In Genesis chapter 24, then Abraham said, it's time for Isaac to get married. 40, not 14. And he didn't look for a girlfriend. He looked for a wife. I'm not saying necessarily that we have to have arranged marriages, although arranged marriages did darn well work for a darn long time. But I'm saying this, God better be the one that's arranging, not you. Simple. Well, that's legalistic. Tell that to God at the Bema seat. I mean, you don't have to listen to me. Who am I? I'm just a messenger. You don't have to listen to a single word I say, but you will, if you are born again, have to listen to God at the Bema seat evaluating you. Examine yourselves to see if you are in the most holy faith. Prove yourselves. Here's one. What are you willing to trade the will of God for? Your job? Well, I can't because of my job. Here's one. Wifey? Kitties? My kitties would miss me. Wifey doesn't want it. Since when is wifey God? Apparently she is in your life. Here's the thing. Whatever you put ahead of God is an idol. Demons introduce idols. If wifey is your head, then demons have arranged it. Now, you cannot say to wifey that you are demonic, because now you have stood in accusation and Satan is the accuser of the brother. Now you're demonic. I'm not here to call everybody demonic, but let's face it, that's what it is. Works like this. Submission to God is in the free volition. Submission of a wife to her husband is in her free volition, not his. She chooses whether she will submit to him, and get this, he chooses whether he will submit to her. Now sometimes he needs to. Abraham was told by God, when Abraham didn't want to get rid of Hagar, and Sarah wanted him to get rid of her, God said, listen to her and get rid of Hagar. God took care of Hagar. He didn't abandon her, he took care of her. However, if wifey is the head of the house, because habitually hubby is submitting to her to keep the peace in the house, because wifey's going to act like a demon personified if he doesn't, then you've got demonic influences taking place in the home. Because the husband's headship is the covering for the family in the angelic warfare. Now he loves her as Christ loves the church. He is patient and he is kind toward her the way that Christ is patient and kind to the church, if he is to be a proper head. See, if he doesn't do that, he's not her head anyway. Only lawfully, but not experientially. So he needs to make sure he's right with God, and she needs to make sure she's right with God. And if he doesn't love her the way that Christ loved the church, he's not right with God, he's not operating in faith, and if she doesn't submit to him as is fitting in the Lord, she's not right with God, and she's not operating with faith. Examine yourselves. Now let's bring some edification in. At the Bema Seat, we will be rewarded according to what we did in this life. Now, just because you did it doesn't necessarily mean you will get a reward for it. Because some things are done and they are wood, hay, and stubble, and some things are done and they are gold, silver, and precious stones. So let's define it a little bit. If you have faith response to what God has said, you will receive a reward. That may be something as a cup of cold water in the character of one who loves, a disciple. By this men will know, Jesus said, you are my disciples, that you love one another. So out of love and the character of a disciple, you give a cup of cold water, you will in no wise lose your reward. Examine yourselves. Is this your mentality? If it is, you will in no wise lose your reward. Faith responses. Faith responses. Word of God. Faith responses. Word of God. Gold. Whatever is of faith is gold in the Bible. I operate in faith and I practice recovery when I fail. Alright, you will not lose that reward. You operate in faith. I'm not saying you're a perfect human being. I'm saying through faith you are a righteous human being. You operate in faith. You will not lose your reward. You practice no-touch love. You are pure. You do not make up. You do not have sex before you're married. You practice purity. There's a crown of righteousness for that. There's a crown that comes associated with that. If you're a preacher, you preach the Word of God faithfully. There's a crown of glory for that. You live in faith. There's a crown of life for that. You do not lose those rewards. People say, we will cast our crowns before the Savior's feet. That's not actually what it says. Read Revelation and read it more carefully. We don't cast our crowns. There's 12 on either side. They cast their crowns. We don't cast the crown. There's 12 patriarchs and then there's 12 apostles. They're the ones who do the crown casting. We don't cast crowns. I don't care if you like the music group. We don't cast crowns. There's crowns. There's reward. There's eternal degrees of glory that are waiting to be given to those who live in faith responses in the various circumstances that God brings. They that suffer with Him will reign with Him. That's a reward. Examine yourselves. Are you willing to suffer with Him? Now, here's the thing. It says they that suffer with Him, not they that suffer relative to the next guy. So many believers compare their suffering to those of other believers. But that's not the criteria. They suffer with Him. This is one of the reasons why we examine ourselves. Are we tolerating? What do we accept? What do you accept? Do I exclusively accept the ways of God, the things of God in my life, or do I accept other things also, the things of the natural man, the things of worldliness, the things of sin, the things of the devil, the things that I do not have a right to? Nor should I have a desire to. If I'm not living in the old sin nature, I won't have a desire toward. What do you tolerate? What do you accept? Reigning for eternity will be determined by it. It's a big deal to be Messiah. Very big deal. The results are eternal. We play around. We play like this is a sandbox. We're not in a sandbox. You are in reality. But because you do not see it, you do not accept it in too many cases. But Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the assurance of realities unseen. Another way of putting it is the conviction of things you can't see. The conviction of things you hope for. The proof of these things. So what do you live in? Examine yourself. Dogmatic command. What do you live in? I live in redemption. I live in redemption toward myself by utilizing the blood, accepting the cross, recognizing the finished work and what Christ has done for me, trusting it and applying it in my life, and trusting it and applying it for other people's lives. Silver. Unbelievable quantity of silver. You think a lot of gold and silver will make you rich in the world? There's nothing. Silver. You're willing to endure. Somebody is difficult. Somebody is negative. Somebody is hard to be with. Somebody is a little bit of a thorn in your flesh. But you love them anyway. You're kind to them anyway. It's not that you don't recognize a thorn when there is a thorn. It's that you deal with it with Christ and in Christ and revealing Christ to that thorn. And you're kind and you're patient and you think no evil. And God says, you will receive an eternal weight of glory. Those weights of glory are our clothing in heaven. You see someone who's nicely dressed and you say, wow, that's a nice suit, or that's a nice dress, or what have you. That's a nice outfit. Hey, that person looks smart. I would, and in your heart you kind of say, wow, I hope I look that good. Or maybe you see somebody in shabby clothing and maybe you feel a little bad for them. You say, wow, that person doesn't have much, or wow, maybe they're homeless, or wow, maybe things are difficult for them. And you feel sorrow, perhaps, in your heart for that person. Do you think it makes no difference what you're clothed in heaven? When God said it does. You endure those momentary light afflictions and they come with an eternal degree of glory. Examine yourselves. Precious stones. They're the precious stones. The Galatians 5:22-23, precious stones. Meekness. Temperance. Self-control. Temperance. That's one that people don't think about as being the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is one of the elements of the fruit of the Spirit. Do you have self-control? Examine yourselves. If you do, Gold, silver, and what? Precious stones. Diamonds, rubies. What do people do with diamonds? You say you got a guy who's got a sack full of diamonds. It's a guy who's set for life.
Well, I don't want that.
Oh, don't be a moron. You think God speaks of eternal rewards and riches in heaven so you can say, well, I don't want that? I want all of it. Every last bit of it. And I'm not ashamed to say it, and I make no bones about it. I want to be filthy rich and fat in heaven. I don't want leanness. No, I want a big, fat, healthy, strong soul body. By fat, it's not the fat, the blubbery kind that you have fat here. It's a strong, physical, hearty soul body. That's well nourished. Well defined. I want it. If you have any sense, you'll want it too. Because that's what you get for eternity, and that's all you get for eternity. And for some people, it will be huge, and they will walk away from the Bema Seat handsomely rewarded. And some people will walk away ashamed. Well, I don't want to be one of those that's ashamed. But the only way that we're going to get that handsomely rewarded as opposed to ashamed is this. Examine yourselves and prove yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Amen?